Wednesday and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
The word communicate unto us all good things. I present to you our Bible teacher for tonight, our own pastor, Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Come on, put those hands together. Receive him and the word.
Amen. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for this wonderful opportunity to study your word. Meet and minister to us tonight through your spirit, the truths that you'll have us to know and to understand. We thank you, we praise you, we give you glory. Do in us what you desire for your glory and our good. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise tonight then? Amen, amen. I want to call your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, our reader is going to read, and we're going to be dealing with the gifts of the Spirit, and hopefully setting an understanding in the operation of those gifts in the New Testament church. So if you will, reader, begin.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Verse 2. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Verse 6. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God, which worketh all in all. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given by every man to profit withal. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. As we again investigate the gifts of the Spirit, it is certainly important to understand that those gifts were given for the greater operation in spiritual matters in the New Testament church. One of the things that I hope we understand is these gifts were supernatural in its origin, and they must be operated supernatural in their operation. If the gifts are supernatural in origin, it requires supernatural power to operate in. The church must have the power of the Holy Ghost to be able to enact the full will of God in the earth realm. The believers must operate in the fullness of the gifts as a church, as a body in Christ, to be able to fully affect this world the way the Lord Jesus Christ would have us to do. One of the things that's so important is Jesus' ministry was so attractive because of his operating in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And to believers, it's important for us to understand in this world, because we are not of this world, but in this world, if we're going to have the effect on the world, we're going to have the power of the Holy Ghost. And so one of the things that Paul is challenging the church at Corinth about is both their past and their present reality. They had received in part the gift of speaking in tongues, and they were doing it in excess. Now, not excess in talking to God too much in that sense, but excess in the sense that they did it at inopportune times. They did it out of order. The minister would be preaching and somebody would jump up and start speaking in tongues and disrupt the flow of the preached word, etc. And a lot of them were operating not in the Spirit but in self. One of the things Paul says, and listen at how he starts off again, verse 1.
Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant.
All right. First thing he wants to call their attention to is the fact that they are ignorant not only of the operation of the gifts and the purpose of the gift, but how they are to utilize the gifts and to make sure they understand that those who know and understand about the gifts know when they are being operated properly. Paul knew that they had been led away and led astray by idols. They were paganistic in their form of worship. As a result of that, they were used to taking things the way they were, and they were used to the fads. They were used to the latest gimmicks, the latest thrills, the latest sensations, etc. And he had to deal with all of that and put it in perspective. Verse 2,
ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led.
Okay. He's going again, you know, reminding them of where they came from and helping them to understand that as they were Gentiles, they were not of the Jewish nation, they came into this gift, and many of them didn't understand the full operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially in speaking in tongues. Now, verse 3, and this is very interesting, verse 3.
Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost.
All right, now this is interesting that he throws this in now. Remember again, he's talking about their former lives as Gentiles and pagans. It is rumored that somebody had spoken in the church out of order. They were speaking in tongues, and some person heard in their language, in their dialect, them cursing the name of Christ in that language and speaking about him in a negative way. Paul addresses this issue and says to them that no man, if he's under the influence of the Holy Ghost, is going to call Christ accursed. Also, he cannot know him as Lord and speak of him as Lord without that relationship. And so he really wants to tune in and hone into the fact that they're using paganistic practices to try and operate in supernatural things. What this says to us in modern day churches is you can't bring all that stuff out the world and try and operate it in the church. You can't do what they do in the world and think that God is going to allow you to use that in his church and be successful leading folk astray, folk who are ignorant of the gifts, folk who are ignorant in the operation of the gifts. Folks saw somebody on TV do this. Folk went to a place, didn't understand what they're doing. It looked good, or it looked different, or it looked like they were spiritually mature, so they started doing that without any understanding of what they were doing. And it was all out of order. So he addresses this issue. Verse 4.
Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit.
One of the things that he starts off is this word diversity, of course, means various. He starts dealing with the fact, all right, there are various gifts, not just one or two, but various gifts. Now he moves on, verse 5.
And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord.
Okay, so now there are various services now of the gifts and administration. Go on.
Verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all.
Now he moves on to the various actions, and he makes clear that all three of these operations, the gifts, the administrations, and the operation, are all coordinated by the Spirit of God, which literally means that anything God does is going to be well done. It's not going to be chaotic. It's not going to be confusion. It's not going to be people doing things indecently or indecently without the flow of the Holy Ghost. In other words, it's going to be a tapestry of things going on, even if many gifts are in operation in the body of Christ at the same time, because there is a coordination of the same Spirit operating all of that. Now, when we operate independent of the Holy Ghost, we do things at the wrong time. We say things at the wrong time. We act at the wrong time. There is a proper time to do all of the things, especially in the church of God, and especially as it relates to the gifts of God. And one of the things that, again, he's putting in place is there are various gifts, various administrations, and various actions or services in the administration and actions. Why is that important? To understand how those things operate together. Now, let's move on. Verse 7 says what?
Again. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. In other words, when the Spirit of the living God activates a gift in a person, it's going to profit the user and the one who's being blessed by the gift. It's going to be for the glory of God. It's going to be for the good of the people. And so when you're operating in that gift, and I need to throw this out parenthetically as well, because the gifts are supernatural in its origin, it must be supernatural in its operation. The gifts are no good without the Spirit of the living God. How many of you got appliances in your house, you know, that you use on a daily basis? Disconnect those appliances that plug into a wall, and they're still the same appliance. They still have the same purpose and function. But can they operate when you disconnect them from the wall? No. They can't operate because they have no power. There is no flow going to make those things operate. You can have gift and the gift not be activated. The manifestation of the Spirit is what causes all of those gifts to become operational. Amen. So keep in mind, he's got this thing. How can something get out of order when he's the one to say go? But he's the one to say stop. When he tells another do this and he tells another do that. And all of this flows together perfectly and seamlessly because he's in control of all of it. You don't operate independently because you have the gift. It ain't your gift. You were given to be a steward over the gift to operate in the church as the Spirit wills. It's not something you can feel like doing and do it when you want to do it. I feel like blessing you. Bam. No, it don't work like that. It has to operate according to the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. All right, next verse.
Verse 8. Mm-hmm. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit.
Okay, listen. Now, he starts off giving us a list of how many gifts are listed in these next few verses. Anybody knows? 9 gifts, exactly. Now, what he does is he starts to help us to understand some things. One of the things he helps us to understand is that everybody does not have all gifts. He makes clear, and there are some writers and theologians, as I've researched this, some think that it's in a progressive order or order of importance. Some say it's not important. But you will recognize that he starts off the gifts with wisdom. Wisdom. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Now, it's important in Isaiah, when Jesus was referencing Jesus, the first thing it said, as the Spirit would anoint him, he would receive wisdom. 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 It made clear that wisdom was so important. It was so important to the function and flow of Jesus' ministry. It's so important to the function and flow of our ministry, to our daily lives with God, to our daily activity in the secular realm and the sacred realm. The wisdom of God is so important. Now, this is not just general wisdom. This is not just man's wisdom. This is God's wisdom. This is supernatural wisdom. This is the gift of wisdom that the Holy Spirit, who knows everything, gives to you. This ain't the kind of wisdom you can go in books and get. This wisdom comes with revelation and with understanding, and this kind of wisdom comes from a source that was from the beginning and knows everything to the end. He knows things that you can't even fathom. And so when he begins to reveal certain things to you on the supernatural level as a gift, that revelation knowledge is far beyond anything that you can train for, that you can study for. It is a gift, all right? And he makes clear, to one, he gives the spirit of, or the gift of wisdom, the word of wisdom. And then what did he go on to say? The word of knowledge. Again, supernatural gift. This knowledge, again, is the knowledge of the Spirit of the living God. There are things that happen that flow. If you would break down the spirit of wisdom and or word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, that there are some basic operations. But basically, the word of wisdom has to do with the present and future revelations of predictions and prophecies and things concerning Christ, the work of the church, the spiritual and sacred things of God, in addition to things he gives you the knowledge of in the word and the wisdom to in the world. Okay, same thing with the word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is those things present and past. Word of knowledge is when the Spirit of God will tell you something about a person, or tell you about a situation, tell you something about a certain thing that you had no knowledge, earthly knowledge of. That was no busy bee in your ear, no gossiper telling you this. You didn't get this from no news or media source. The supernatural power or knowledge of God revealed that to you. You could be preaching, and God will give you a word of knowledge that will hit somebody right in the mole of their head. In other words, it does not miss them, and they know they didn't tell anybody. It can be so rich that it's yet just the thought in their minds, not even shared with anybody else yet. And God hits that about something that's past, about something that you're dealing with now, and it's like he'll give that word of knowledge to that man or woman who's speaking. And it's like, there's nobody but God. Nobody. He shows up, deliver your mail with your name on it, and he makes sure that nobody signs for it but you. A whole church full of folk can be right there, and he'll send mail just to you. And so it's important to realize that is how powerful the word of knowledge is. Next verse.
Verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healings by the same Spirit.
Okay. Now, supernatural faith. Now, this is not just the measure of faith. This is not a seed of faith. This is supernatural God faith. This is the faith of God. This is to believe in one, the Son of God, the Word of God, the will of God, the way of God. It is so much so, the faith of God, to enact the things of God, so much so that you can believe God on a supernatural basis to bring things from the spirit realm into manifestation in the natural realm by that divine faith. In other words, it's the kind of faith that God gives you to be able to believe on the level that changes things that please God. The Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's impossible to please him. You must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So faith is important, but when you got the gift of faith, that means you're able to do things in a supernatural way that pleases God, so much so that your concern with supernatural faith is more about enacting the things of God in the earth realm. When Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, he said, when you pray, say, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It requires some of us to have the God kind of faith to get the word, the operations of heaven here on earth. That means to believe God for some incredible things that only God kind of faith can produce. So it's important to understand this is not your average faith, your normal faith. This is faith that God gives as a gift by the Spirit of God. All right, then of healing. Now, this is important again, because if it is a gift of healing, then that means the operation of that gift again is under the anointing and operation of the Holy Ghost. All right? It's a gift for you to operate in. Some people have the gift of healing. It's a gift. Now, listen, there is a difference here in this gift versus Mark 16 when it tells us, "You'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." This is talking about the believers here. But when you talk about here, where Paul is speaking about the gift of healing, the gift of healing is given to you to profit those whom the Spirit of the Lord leads you to. It's not, listen, it's not encumbered upon them to believe and operate in the same way that Jesus dealt with other people in the Word who utilized their faith. The gift of healing works even without the cooperation or participation of the person being healed. Listen at this now. The power of the gift of healing is it can be given to someone without them even asking for it, because it is a gift of healing. In many operations in the natural flow of healing, you have got to have faith. You have got to believe for that healing. But Jesus, Paul, Peter, many of the New Testament apostles with the gift of healing healed many people who did not even ask to be healed. He would go there and see a need, lay hands on them, or speak to them, and that gift would heal them. That simple. Because they had the gift, the ability through the Holy Spirit to be able to do that thing. Now, what's nice about the gift of healing is that when, you know, and the Bible talks about Acts 10 and 38 about how Jesus went around doing good and healing all manner of sickness and diseases. When you've got the gift of healing, you don't worry about what the issue is. The issue is of no moment to you. Your gift is so powerful. You got leprosy, gift of healing, heal it, cleanse it. You know, you've got an issue of blood, no problem, heal, it's done. There was nothing by way of sickness that came before Jesus that could stand against him or the apostles, those who had had the gift of healing, that did not leave that person well when they left. Now, that's not the same. That's not the same full authority as someone believing and hoping and praying to get healed. When somebody has the gift to operate in, when that person who's operating that gift under the authority of the Holy Spirit when they walked in that room.